Hello, hello. Welcome to Igbo Queer and Unfiltered Podcast. My name is Charles. How are you? Happy New Year to each and every one of you. As we step into this new year, I just want to say this. Thank you so, so much for being here. Thank you for watching, listening, and choosing to show up for truth, visibility, and representation. This year is about more honesty, more softness. We need to do device. We need to be in our bag and more courage. It is about choosing peace over performance, self-respect, over silence, and community over fear. Because we are a community here. If you are queer and African or living anywhere, freaking where you've been told to shrink, I hope this year gives you space to breathe, to heal, and to live a little louder in your truth. And this truth has to be at your pace, at your own pace, in the way it makes you feel comfortable. We are not here to be tolerated. We are here to live fully. We are here to be fabulous. We are here to be amazing. We are here to be wonderful as we are. Here is to another year of growth, clarity, and unapologetic joy. From all of us to you, we wish you a happy new year and thank you so, so much for working this journey with me and with us, because you are the vibes. This community is for each and every one of us and our allies. We will continue to do the things. And let me tell you, we are in the new year and this episode is going to start and be doing the things. We are going to be talking about the Bible, how pastors, how African families, how the entire society misuse the Bible to shame, to silence, and to demonize queer people. And they do all of these things while ignoring the actual teachings of compassion, justice, and truth. It is so freaking crazy. I hear this all the time. The Bible said you should repent. You are a sinner. Yada, yada, yada. Let's be for real. Most Africans don't read the Bible. They inherit these verses the same way they inherit trauma. It is wild. And they will be like, God said it is bad. It is horrible. But the thing is, they use it like a weapon. That is why I always say, stop weaponizing your religious beliefs. They use it like a weapon, especially against us queer people. Do you know, every time I get this on social media, because I'm on some of these platforms, right? They'll be like, repent, you need Jesus, you are a sinner, your face is strong, you are going to go to hell. If you don't find Jesus, it will be too late for you. Find Jesus before it is too late. And I keep wondering, what am I finding? Why am I worried about a man that does not look like me? I don't even understand. The man that you all think is Jesus, do you actually think that's the man? Because it doesn't make any sense to me. I don't understand why our people feel like for you to be a holy person or a religious person, you have to subscribe to the God of Abraham. It does not make any sense to me whatsoever. Because Christianity and Abrahamic religion are not the only religion in the world. People can believe in whatever they want to believe in, but do not use it as a weapon against other people, because it is wild. It makes you look crazy. A lot of you, I have been saying this consistently, you suffer from religious psychosis and it is something you need to deal with. A lot of you have been abused by your elders, your pastors, and whoever with religion, and you cannot even think and use your common sense, and you think that it is gay people who are your problem. It is LGBTQIA plus individuals who are your problem. You need to go and get a life. African homophobia is not holy. It is an inherited violence wrapped in scripture. It is bad. What I knew as a child is that God said you should love thy neighbor as thyself. This Christ that you lot are always quoting and using against queer people, loved marginalized people. That Christ is okay with prostitutes and everyone, and is trying to bring everybody together. But a lot of you, all you think about is how you are going to go to eternity that you don't even know if it exists. Have you seen anyone that went to heaven and came back and told you that heaven does exist? Because I do not know. I am not going to be worrying about an eternity that I don't know what is happening there. I don't know what that life is about. All I know is this life that we are living, to make it better, to make it amazing for us, to be respectful, to show kindness, compassion, and all of these things. But a lot of you will use the Bible to punish people. You will say, go to this verse. The one I get quotes to all the time is Leviticus something. Like, I don't care about the Bible like that. But they always quote this Leviticus. And then they will say something about Sodom and Gomorrah, that God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of gay people. A lot of you are crazy. You are crazy and you need help. You are crazy. Because whether you quote the Bible for me from now till tomorrow, I am still going to be a homosexual. The so-called God a lot of you quote all the time created queer people. From what I understood and what I know is that God is love. And if you have love in you, that means God is in you. God does not make a mistake. That is what I was told, right? So do you think that God did not create queer people? Because this is what a lot of them say all the time. And what really, really is shocking to me is a lot of these African people who, when they have these conversations with you, you say to them, okay, what about your culture? What about your spirituality? They will say to you, that is demonic. The number of people who have said to me that African spirituality is demonic is wild to me. I am an Igbo man. In the Igbo culture, we have hierarchy of gods. We have Chukwu, which is God, the supreme God Almighty. And then you have the other small deities that are there. You have Anna, which is God of the land, and she's a woman. She's responsible for fertility, keeping peace and unity and things like this. And then you have Amadioha, you have Ikenga, you have Ekwensu. Ekwensu is God of trickery, which is Satan, as they say in Christianity. And then you have Alusi, which is where, like, they do some of the sacrifices and what have you. I'm explaining this in the best way possible for you to understand and to break it down, because this is long, right? Amadioha, which is God of thunder and things like this. And you have Ndiche, which is your ancestors. This is why I always say to them, do not play with me, because the ancestors before me have queer people. And if you try me, my ancestors will club the crap out of you. I know this Igbo hierarchy and spirituality and cosmology and things like this that I've mentioned, I did not follow it like in sequence and mention the whole name the way it's supposed to be, but it's just to give you an example. I have said this so many times. Some of our African leaders, right, if they go and swear with the gods of Africa, like the Alusi, and promise that they are going to do well by the people, if they don't do it, that thing is potent. It will strike them down. Some of these people will use the Bible, and they use the Bible to swear people in to be our leaders, and they go there and do fuck all. They do nothing, because that Bible is a collection of stories. Like, how powerful is that Bible? And this is why you see some of these pastors who will say a lot of nonsense, but they commit atrocities. They use people, they steal from people, they abuse their congregation and get away with it in the name of God, in the name of the Bible. And you think that that is okay. And then you're here telling me that my culture, my spirituality, the religion of my ancestors, the things that my ancestors did is demonic. Please get away with that. Leave me alone. Leave us alone. I believe in my ancestors. I believe in my culture. I believe in where I come from. I believe in everything that has to do with my people. I don't have to believe in a religion that is alien to me. And then you are weaponizing it to tell us that the Bible said that homosexuality is evil. The Bible said that being a trans woman is evil, that you are going to go to hell. And you think you are a Christian. A lot of you are not good people. You just use the Bible as a blanket to be evil. That's what you are. The Bible is used selectively only when it serves their hate. I have seen this happen so many times. I remember speaking to someone and the person said to me, oh, you're going to go to hell. You are a homosexual. It is wrong. The Bible said that you shouldn't be gay. And I said to them, okay, can we just have a conversation, please? I said to this lady, are you married? She said, no. I said to her, have you ever had sex before? She was quiet for a while and she said, yes. I said, why did you have sex? I thought the Bible said you should not have sex before you get married. That premarital sex is wrong, unless if I'm wrong, because this is what a lot of you preach. And she said, yeah, but it's different from your own sex. And I was like, okay, can you explain to me what you mean? And she did not have a comeback, right? And I said to her, you, that probably your vagina is as wide as the head of a grown man, and you're here judging someone that did not do anything. Can you look at yourself? Because looking at you here, what are you wearing? She has a sweater on. I said, okay, even if you don't have a sweater on, the clothes you wear is mixed fabrics, right? The Bible said you shouldn't wear that. The Bible said you shouldn't eat shellfish. The Bible said you shouldn't do a lot of things, but you are doing all of those things. And I said to her, you have selective morality, and that is your problem. And I feel sorry for you because you are a woman who is supposed to understand. And then I went ahead to say to her, tell me any of the religion you know that says that a woman has some form of right, that all of them look down on women. They think women is not worthy. Women are not powerful. Women are not supposed to have a place. That your so-called Bible is written by misogynistic men because everything is about men. How does it make sense to you that you were told that a woman was created through the rib of a man, but you give birth to men? Because in the grand scheme of things, from where I'm standing, I will say that God is a woman, actually. But I don't reference to God as a he or a she, because God is neither of those things. If you believe in God, if you believe that God is supreme and is powerful, that God shouldn't be a man. Why is it that a lot of you tend to reference God as a man? You know why? Because whoever wrote the Bible is a narcissist, misogynistic human being. That is why people say that they don't believe in those things. The thing is, the Bible does not apply to this modern age. This was a storybook that was written by people in the Iron Age, by peasants, and they claimed that God told them. I was having conversations with my man the other time on my vlog, and he said something to me. And he said that a lot of the things in the Bible were changed by the Romans to fit the way things were for them, which I don't know. That's what he said. I don't know this. I'm not going to speak on something that I don't know, but that's what he said. The thing is that a lot of the things in the Bible does not really add up. I do not care about what anybody thinks. What I care about when it comes to the way I see the world is that I want everybody to have it good. It is about humanity for me. And when you look at a lot of these people, nobody, none of them ever quotes the Bible about corruption. They don't quote it that way. Nobody quotes it about adultery. Nobody quotes the Bible about poverty, about injustice, about lies, about lying. But you know what they do? Everyone, when it comes to homosexuality, becomes a scholar in the name of the Bible. This is why I say to them all the time, that you have selective morality. You have selective adherence in the way you deal with your shit. And that's not okay. Because when it comes to corruption, injustice, and lies, and all the evil that happens everywhere, none of you will speak. Look at the Catholic Church and some of these churches where they have historic abuse of children. Nobody did anything. I have seen situations where in churches, pastors have sexually assaulted some of the women, and nobody trigger warning here, please, trigger warning. Some of the pastors have moved mad, moved wayward, moved in a way whereby it's horrible and disrespectful towards women and corrupt and evil, and none of them will say anything. They will be quiet about it. I am not trying to provoke here. I'm just saying what needs to be said, because some of these people are just so confused. The truth of the matter is, this whole thing is not about the Bible. It is about control. If you look at the way some of the churches move and some of your pastors move, they try as much as possible to get you to abide by their rules and regulations. I remember when I was at University of Maiduguri, I had some of these guys who went to a particular church. Every time they want to talk to me, they'll be like, Pastor this said this. Pastor this said this. Pastor this said it's not good. Pastor this. And I said to them, are you okay? Are you okay? Is your pastor your God? Are you that stupid that every time you're talking to us, Pastor this said this, the Bible said this? And I said to them, do you actually have common sense? I used to always argue with them all the freaking time, because a lot of the things they say does not make any sense. You're looking at a human being like you as if that human being has some form of power over you. I will never, ever give my hard-earned money to any church, to any pastor. Never. I'd rather give my money to someone that needs help, that I know needs that help. than giving it to a pastor that will go and buy private jet and live in a mansion and then come back to tell me that I am a sinner, I am gay, that I should go to hell. That will never, ever happen. Colonial Christianity is not African culture. And this is something a lot of us need to understand, because I have had arguments with people who will say to me, homosexuality is not our culture. It is not part of our culture. It is not something we do in Africa. It's something that was brought to us by the white people, by the Westerners. And then I will be like, okay, what of Christianity? Where did Christianity come from? The version of Christianity that you are talking about, where did you get a lot of the things that you are doing? Where did they come from? So you've decided to pick and choose what you can use when it comes to the things that was given to you by the white man, but you think homosexuality is not something that happens in Africa. Queerness has always been there. It's not new. Pre-colonial African society had queer roles. Gender fluidity existed. Same-sex relations existed before the white man came. They existed quietly and existed without panic. Europeans brought homophobia to us. It was not brought by God. Africans inherited hate and renamed it Christian values. And a lot of you don't understand this. This is why when I try as much as possible to explain to some of these people that pre-colonial Africa, we had queer people, we have diverse roles, diverse gender roles, that there were some of these African countries where we had same gender marriages before the white man came. They will be like, that is a lie. You are trying to teach people homosexuality. You cannot teach anyone how to be queer, how to be gay. You cannot convert someone into being a homosexual. That is not possible. The thing is that our people inherited and renamed these things as Christian values, and they've refused to let go. They've refused to let go. I was on TikTok Live day before yesterday, and a lady came. I blocked her. She says she lives in the UK, and she was like, oh, make sure you check yourself because of this anal cancer. Some of them will be like, your anus is destroyed. Your soul is destroyed. This is nothing we do here. Stop putting Igbo in your name, because this is not what we do in the Igbo culture. And then I look at them. I'll be like, okay. You know, in the Igbo culture, women are allowed to marry women. It's under the LGBTQIA+ umbrella. What they do, so let me explain this so that it won't be confusing. So what happens if a woman comes from a family and that family doesn't have a male child, or they want a male child, she can go and get married to a woman. The culture allows that. And then that woman that she gets married to will pick a particular man she wants and sleep with that man and have children with them and have children. And that children they have will bear the wife's name, her family's last name, not the man that slept with her. If that makes any sense, the children will not take the name of the man she's intimate with, but they will take the name of the wife. And for this woman, when she goes to get married to this woman, her relatives will go with her. You just do the normal traditional rites and the rites of getting married to somebody, to a woman. And that's allowed. In another case where this can happen as well, if a woman is married to a man and she's unable to give that man a child, she can then go and get married for the husband or for the husband's family. If the husband doesn't have any low sperm count and things like this, the man would then sleep with the woman and they have children. This is based on fluidity, balance, and flexibility. This is just one example of it. This doesn't only happen in Nigeria, in Igbo land, and it happens in so many African cultures as well. And this is something that really, really annoys me when people come to you and say to you, oh, our culture doesn't allow this. And when you say to them, go and read, they would disagree. A woman from Ghana as well was having these conversations with me. And I said to her, can you go and read about the Nzema people in Ghana? Go and read about it. He said, no, you're just saying this to promote homosexuality. And I'm like, are you okay? Because a lot of you are suffering from religious psychosis. It is a massive problem. It is literally a pandemic that we need to deal with. And you think you are okay. I swear, the hypocrisy of performative Christianity is crazy. And what it does is that it exposes their double standards every day. And I don't think they see this. because you will be there being hypocritical, speaking to a queer person, speaking to someone you think is not a Christian, is not religious, but then you are exposing yourself. They do these things every freaking time. Pastors preaching against homosexuality, why cheating on their wives? Politicians quoting the scripture, why stealing public funds? Families shout abomination while harboring abuse and violence at home. All the freaking time. They do this every time. African Christianity has become obsessed with queer people because it refuses to confront its real sin. My dear, we as queer people are not your freaking problem. I am sick and tired of a lot of you with your hypocritical nonsense. Go and pick your fight where that fight is and leave queer people the F alone. It is wild. I grew up in Nigeria. I grew up as an Igbo man. I am an Igbo man. I grew up in Kano. I went to primary school in Kano. I went to secondary school in Enugu. I went to University of Maiduguri, University of Manchester. And all I have heard all my life is scripture, 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 scripture that, scripture this, scripture. It is tiring. But you know what? Scripture has become a weapon used against queer people. It is a massive tactic that happens every freaking day. It goes like this: emotional blackmail. God will punish you. This one has become my second name. I get this every day when I post on TikTok, on Instagram, on YouTube, and things like this. I get it in some of my platforms. It's crazy. They will come to you. This is not who you are. It is identity erasure, isn't it? They want to erase your identity. They will say to you, this is not who you are. This is not who we are. You are not supposed to live your life like this. We are not this. We are not that. You are not this. You are not that. It is what happens all the time. Violence is justified as discipline. Pastors creating fear instead of healing. Parents threatening death in the name of love, and they call themselves Christians. They call themselves religious people. The Bible does not give anyone permission to abuse or harm queer people. I will repeat this again to make it clear for you. The Bible does not give anyone permission to abuse or harm queer people. You have created a kind of culture that does not make any sense. And that culture you've created, it is not Christ-like. For some of you who believe in God, who believe in Abrahamic religion, which Christianity is one of them, your behavior is not Christ-like. You have created a type of culture that is toxic, wicked, evil, and harmful. That culture is not about Christ. What you need to do is you need to pick up a phone or go to a counselor, speak to a therapist, because you are suffering from religious psychosis. You are not in touch with reality. It is crazy out here with some of you. Your madness and waywardness is unmatched. How is it that a lot of you do not want to unlearn some of the bullshit that you've learned? It is 2026. Leave your madness and your religious psychosis behind in 2025. Say goodbye to that nonsense. We do not need it here. Leave your crazy in 2025. Become a born again. That is the kind of born again Christian I want you to be. A born again Christian that loves thy neighbor as thyself. A born again Christian that respects everybody, that understands that it is about humanity. A born again Christian that understands that it is about the golden rule of humanity. Love everyone. Respect everyone. Stay in your lane. Allow people to be themselves. No queer person is preventing you from living your life. Homosexuality is not something that you can teach any fucking body. You lot need to get a life in 2026. You preach about heaven and hell all the time. You live in hell by carrying a lot of these baggages. You are carrying a lot of load on you. Free yourself. Free your mind. So you can have peace of mind. Hatred, it's people up. When you hate people, you are extremely miserable. A lot of you do not think about the emotional and psychological damage you've caused. And this is what we face as queer people. Some of you think you love your children by the things you say to them, but you are causing a lot of emotional damage. And queer people are that collateral damage. We are the one going through this. Because we queer Africans face things like losing our families, losing our communities, identity trauma, religious PTSD, shame that starts from childhood, fear of hell, rejection, and homelessness. This is what we face all the time. The number of voice notes some queer people that I know who live in Nigeria and in Ghana and some African countries have sent me that they will unalive them with their bare hands, that they are useless, that they are all working cops. And you think that this is okay. You think that traumatizing your children, damaging them psychologically is something that is okay. And you call yourselves religious people. That is why I say that if you don't change, it shall never be well with you. Religion has really become a massive trauma. Religion has replaced kindness with fear. Religion has replaced empathy with being mean. Religion, Christianity, has replaced love with control. Religion has replaced kindness with hostility. And this is something that I have decided that I do not want to be a part of. I have not been to a church in the capacity of worshiping for almost 16 years or over that. And I will not do that. I do not want to be in an environment where everything that is supposed to be love has been replaced by hostility, by wickedness, by evil. In the name of religion and Christ, I don't want any of that. And if you are a queer person, you want to go to a church, you want to be in community with queer people, there are queer affirming churches you can go to. House of Rainbow is one of them. They do Sunday services on platforms like Clubhouse, Zoom, or you can go to their churches or to where they do their worships in London, or you can join via Zoom. Via Clubhouse. That's a queer church that, at least that I know of, that can allow you to be yourself. There are other queer churches that I cannot think on the top of my head. If you are someone that actually believes in God and want to be in community with people like you, where you are going to be celebrated. But for all of these places that I don't know of, absolutely not. If you are a queer person and you want to worship God, go to places where you are welcomed. Go to places like that. I am mentioning this because House of Rainbow is mainly an African organization. A lot of African people go there. Their main reverend is a Nigerian queer man, Pastor Reverend Jide Macaulay. And this is a way of us queer Africans to reclaim our faith. We are creating spaces where we can be ourselves, where we can worship if you believe in God and you want to be there. Because other queer spaces do not allow us to be ourselves. I remember I was talking to Emrad. Emrad went to this particular church with someone that he's seen that, and they went there and he was praying. He had his like nails done. And he said that church was the first time where, I think it was House of Rainbow actually. I'm not quite sure. I can't remember. I think it was in House of Rainbow where he was able to like raise his hands and not feel like someone is going to say to him, why are you wearing nails? Why are your nails colored and things like this? Why are your nails painted? You know, because his nails were really, really good and he felt so free. This is what you want, to be in an environment where you are not judged, where you are not looked down upon. Many queer Africans still believe in God, just not in the weaponized version of God. That is why you have Reverend Jide, that is why you have people like Haywood who goes to churches because they want to be there. That is why people like Emrad, Frank, these are people that I know, they go to churches, they want to pray because they still believe in God, not in the ones you believe in, where you weaponize it to be wicked towards people. There are some people, some pastors, some reverends who reinterpret scripture with context and clarity. There are others who create affirming spiritual spaces that where people can come to. Many reject the lie that God hates queer people. Every pastor does not hate queer people. You just need to find the spaces where you are allowed to be yourself, where you are not hated. Queer people do not need to abandon God to survive. They need to abandon hate, disguised as God. I will repeat this again because this is absolutely important. Queer people do not need to abandon God to survive. They need to abandon hate disguised as God. That is why I urge you not to be in churches, in environments where people weaponize religion in a harmful way. Don't go to churches where you are not welcomed. Don't go to pastors who are homophobic. Don't go to reverends that are queerphobic, that are transphobic, that are hateful. Go to places where God is worshipped in the right way. The thing is that the bigger issue here, and a lot of people don't see this, is that religion is used as a tool of control. And this is done all the time. Anti-gay laws rely on religious emotion, not facts. That is what they do. That is why they say to you, oh, this is nothing that happens in our culture. You shouldn't be this. No, they rely on religious emotion, not facts. Politicians stir religious panic to gain support. Families hide toxic behavior behind Christian morality. That's what happens. That is why they tell you the Bible said that it is bad. You shouldn't be a gay man. Don't be gay. Don't be a trans woman. Don't sleep with men. It is evil because it is a tool they use to control us. And if you fall for it, this is why a lot of queer people are living in trauma. A lot of queer people are traumatic. I know a lot of people who are queer, who are gay and got married to women that are traumatized and are unhappy, but they are in that marriage because they've been controlled to fall in line and go and marry women to conform. Religion has been used as a tool of control for decades, for millions of years. And people are falling for it up until today in 2026. That is not okay. It is a shackle you need to get yourself off of. Run away. Free yourself from the shackles of control that is called religion. That version of religion, that is. Colonizers used the Bible to dominate Africa. Now Africans use it to dominate each other. It is wild. They refuse to let go. They are using the Bible to dominate each other, to control one another. Meanwhile, some of the countries that colonized you don't even care about the Bible anymore like that, aside from some where you have these extreme evangelical people in some countries that let's leave it there. Open your eyes. Use your common sense that your so-called God gave to you. Homophobia is a political and colonial tool, not a divine one. There is nothing divine about homophobia. It is political, it is a colonial tool that you lot are claiming to say that it is divinely given to us by God, that the Bible said you should not be gay. Because of that, we're going to just be homophobic to you. If you pass away, it's not our business. So far as you are dead, we don't care. I saw a video on social media where this woman brought her child that she thinks is effeminate and is gay. And this so-called pastor was saying, it is better for you to not have a child than have a gay child. And you call yourself a pastor. That is why I say to our people, queer people, be very careful the churches you go to, the places of worship you go to, because some of these pastors are just homophobic as hell. And they sleep with men as well. I was looking at the man, the way he was. I'm like, okay, may that God you are quoting help you because you need help. Crazy. You were never a mistake. The interpretation of the Bible was the mistake. Your existence does not threaten God. It threatens ignorance. You are loved. You are complete. Your queerness is not a sin. The violence don't you. is, I want to let you know this. You are fabulous. You are amazing. You are wonderful. You are loved. I always make sure that I say this all the time. You are a complete, fabulous, amazing human being. Your queerness is never a sin. It was never. Your ancestors were queer. People who came before you and I were queer. The violence that is done to us is the problem. Do not allow anybody make you small. Don't allow it. Queer Africans deserve faith without fear, community without violence, and family without conditions. If the Bible someone uses makes you feel small, they are reading it wrong. They are not reading it in the right way. They are not living the right way as they claim to be. The Bible, as the way I was told as a child, is about love, compassion, kindness. And if someone is using the Bible as a weapon to be homophobic towards you, that Bible is wrong. I want to know if you've ever had any religious trauma. If you have had any, please speak to someone about it. Maybe share it here so we can help as a community. Speak to someone, talk about it, do something about it. I want you to question harmful teachings. When you are around people who weaponize religious beliefs, use the Bible to be mean towards queer people or towards anybody, question it. Say to them that this is not right. Tell them that you don't not subscribe to that, because we need to challenge a lot of this nonsense. I want to let you know that you are not alone. Do not believe any of this nonsense. You are not condemned. You are wonderful. You are amazing. I want to wish you a happy new year once again. This year and beyond is going to bring everything wonderful to you. I wish you peace of mind. I wish you happiness, kindness, good health, prosperity, and everything good in 2026 and beyond. I have been Charles. This has been Igbo Queer and Unfiltered Podcast. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for joining the community, for joining for truth, visibility, representation, and freedom. We will always do the things. We are amazing. Love is love. Continue to be you. Continue to live your life unapologetically. I will see you in the next episode. Have a wonderful time.